later on this summer, as the time will quickly unfold, my wife and I will celebrate 20 years of marital bliss. I'm glad I worded it that way. Dinner is coming. I know some of you have been married a lot longer than that. Some of you have been married much longer than I've been alive. But just in the length of time that I have been married or even have known Leanne, I'm constantly being reminded that we don't think alike. Always wonder about my thoughts versus her thoughts. Sometimes she even asks me what I'm thinking, and it's not worth much to her, you know, a penny for your thoughts. So sometimes I don't bother sharing them, but if it was worth more than that, maybe it. But how differently we think. A lot of times we think the way we think because of the environment that we were brought up in. That's part of the way it forms us in the midst of our thinking, patterns of thinking, avenues of thought. We may debate, we could probably debate for a couple of hours or more as to whose thoughts are more simple and whose are more complex. I'm pretty confident that I have the answer to that. Whose are deeper and whose are more shallow? How many times has it gone through our head, men? What in the world is she thinking? Okay, ladies, how many times has it gone through your head? What in the world is he thinking? Well, I have an answer this morning to what she is thinking. It's not the answer, it's an answer. Simply put, I don't know. Have no idea. If I have such a hard time trying to figure out the thoughts of another person who is made up of the same stuff that I am made up of, how can I even begin to think on the level that God thinks? Are you following me? Maybe it's just me and her and the difference of thought, but I'd say that we've probably, if you've been around somebody very long at all, you have a pretty good idea that you don't think on the same level or the same avenue. Trains run on different tracks. And if I can't, after all of these years, can't understand or figure out the thought patterns or the thought avenues or whatever of someone who is made up of the same stuff as myself, how can I even begin to think the way God thinks? God has given us a little bit of instruction or a little bit of insight into His thoughts as to how He thinks and to what He thinks. And some of these thoughts that He is, or these ideas, these areas that He has given us insight to, are pretty interesting and pretty encouraging. The first thing that I notice about the thoughts of God, found in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8, He tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The next verse He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." we might be able to read over that very quickly and pass it by without much understanding or without much attempt to think to what God is really wanting us to understand. The heavens, as he would be talking about them here, is what is out there beyond what we call the blue. This morning the sky looks pretty high. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. The sky is basically clear, I believe, at least it was earlier. I can't see the sky from this vantage point, but some of you can. It's a gorgeous day. The sky is way out there somewhere. The heavens are higher than the earth. So are his thoughts in relationship to our thoughts, far above ours. Sometimes we may get to the point where we think we have a pretty good grasp on the ability to reason. We have a pretty good hold on the ability to think things through, to understand things. But the fact of the matter is, God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher than ours that we probably will never attain the level of understanding that we think we might already have. Because we don't think like God. We don't think in the same avenues of God. We are so much more simple in our ways of thinking or in the avenue of thinking than what God is. His thinking is complex. Ours is shallow. His is deep. His thoughts run deeper than what we could ever even begin to plumb the depths of. The psalmist David then in Psalm 139:17, he tells us this. He said, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." Did you ever stop and think that God's thoughts towards you are precious? Maybe we didn't stop and think of it along that line. My wife's a doodler. You know what doodling means? It means if she has a pen in her hand, she's scribbling something around. To this day, she doodles. You look at her college notes, and in between the time when she's actually taking notes, there's all this stuff going through there. Well, you know what that doodling was back then? John Ziegler. John Ziegler. John Sherwood Ziegler. John S. Ziegler. You see, her thoughts weren't in school. They were on me. Makes me feel good. Now when she doodles, it's Janae Ziegler and Jonathan Ziegler and Caleb Ziegler. That sort of thing. But I look back at those times when she, in the midst of her time when she should be focusing on school, her mind is on me. Her thoughts are precious on me. Can you follow that? Can you understand that? How much more, as we think of the depth of God's thoughts and the height of His thoughts, how much more, when He thinks about us, are those thoughts precious to us? The next verse that the psalmist wrote there in Psalm 139, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." He must spend an awful lot of time thinking about me. Too bad he doesn't have time to think about you. But we know that's not true, don't we? Not a single one of us is more important to Him than the other one. Not a single one of us is more precious to Him than someone beside us, in front of us, or behind us. We are all on the same level to the thoughts that He has towards us and how precious they are and how numerous they are. many thoughts, precious thoughts. Let's combine that. Many precious thoughts. That's what the psalmist is saying about the thoughts of God. Then we find that if his thoughts are said to be good thoughts, then I would hate to see what his evil thoughts would be when I look at the bad things that happen in my life or in someone else's life. Has that ever occurred to you? Why do bad things happen to good people? If his thoughts are so good and so precious, in the midst of troubled times, boy, I'd hate to see what it'd be like when he thinks evil. We can go over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Remember now, Jeremiah is a prophet to Israel, and Israel had a track record. They had a history. And their history wasn't that they followed God 100% of the time. You might even be able to debate the question and answer it fully that they probably may not have even, possibly didn't even follow God 50% of the time. Well, here's Jeremiah talking to them, and he said in verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you." You mean to tell me that we're going to have to be in captivity for 70 years? That's how long we're going to have to deal with this problem? "After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." And here's what his thoughts toward Israel were at that time. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Just let that soak right in for a little while like a spring rain. Soak right into the very depths of our thinking. That even in the midst of bad times, in the midst of 70 years of Babylonian captivity, God's thoughts to them, they were not made up of thoughts of evil. "Well, I'm going to see what I can do to whip them." No, it seems like his thoughts toward Israel at that time was of such to bring about an expected end of peace and of hope. It was to bring them around to a point of bettered lives. Micah chapter 4, verse number 11. "Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look on Zion." See the enemy creeping up. The enemy's coming in for an attack. They're trying their best to destroy this people, trying their best to discourage this people. The enemy is there saying, "We're going to defile this group of people. We're going to defile this person. We're going to destroy this family." But God had the final say. "But they know not the thoughts of the Lord." They know not the thoughts of the Lord. "Neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Could we translate this particular passage close to the way that Joseph made mention back in the book of Exodus, or in Genesis chapter 45? "They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You remember the story of Joseph, don't you? Thrown into the pit. The desire was of some of the brothers to kill him. Then they sold him, decided to sell him to the Ishmaelite traders who took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. only to have trouble in the midst of all of the blessings in Potiphar's house. He was cast out because of a lie told upon him and thrown into the dungeon. My understanding of the dungeons in that day pale considerably from the jailhouses of our day. You know, people hate to be behind bars in America, but Joseph would have thought he was in a palace had he been in an American prison, in an Indiana prison. He was in a dungeon. And then only to have two people who he helped so much. One person who made it out alive and forgot about him. And then he was brought to the king's palace, placed in leadership, and his brothers who sold him into slavery, attempted to kill him, desired to kill him, were brought into him because there was nothing else in the whole world, nowhere else to find food except for in Egypt. And when they realized who it was, they were fearful. But what did Joseph say? In so many words, he said, "You all may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." We could spend a lot of time talking about the thoughts of God. There's a number of passages that would tell us about His thoughts to us are made to bring hope. But the conclusion of the whole matter would be found in the New Testament. Though the wording's different, it doesn't really say anything about the thoughts of God, as it were, but in Romans chapter 8, it does tell us about the thoughts of God. The thoughts that God has towards each one of us on an individual basis, not a national basis, but an individual basis. And we may look around us and see the problems that we may experience, the trouble that we may go through, the hardships, even sometimes the discouraging points that would come our way. The attack of the enemy. But Paul said in the 28th verse, "And we know that all things work together for good." I think I told you about a man by the name of Don Phillips, a healthy man, until he was injured on the job working for the railroad. Just had a physical. The doctor said everything was fine. I believe it was 4 months after the physical, he was back in the doctor's office again, back in the hospital again because of an injury on the railroad, and they found that he had prostate cancer with his numbers way, way up high. I think his numbers were up to 44. It was pretty sad. Sudden with the realization that life was over. Make a longer story, a little bit shorter. He came to know Christ as his Savior. He came and found Jesus, and what a change came in that man. And when the doctor went in and did surgery and met with the family after the surgery, I was there when the doctor looked at the family and said, "I did not get it all. It was impossible to clean out all of that cancer." They were devastated. They were brought to tears in the midst of that. But God saw fit to heal him, and his numbers dropped. I don't remember, it was way down. And stayed way down for several, several years. Today he's still alive. Still going pretty strong from what I understand. But if he were here this morning, he would probably stand up, even though he was a stranger to all of you except for our family, he would probably stand up and say, "I thank God for cancer because it brought me to Christ." You see, I believe that's what Paul the Apostle is talking about when he wrote these words, when he penned these words to the Roman church. "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That even in the midst of troubled times, even in the midst of difficult times, there is a lesson for us to learn. And the lesson for us to learn is not to make us bitter, but it is to make us better. We have that choice. You've heard me say that before, probably on more than one occasion. Perhaps you'd hear me say it more as the future unfolds. But it's so true that we are in the thoughts of God, and the thoughts of God towards us is that of peace and of hope. He cherishes His children. He longs to see His children brought to that place that He wants us to be. And what is that place? Place of perfection. When He has tried us. When He hath brought us through the trying time, He said His goal is, His desire is that we come forth as gold. I can't comprehend the thoughts or the pattern of thinking that my wife, mine, travels in. And I surely cannot comprehend the thinking that God's mind travels in. So many things I do not understand. So many things I cannot comprehend. So many things I never even see an understanding towards. I can't grasp them. But all things work together for our good, because the thoughts of God are to bring us peace and an expected end. You say, well, I've got so many troubles, or I've got this problem, or I have that problem. It really doesn't matter. The passage of Scripture here in Romans 8:28 is not just for a certain select few, but it is for all of us. It is for all of us. Actually, one of the passages that I read this morning, let me see here if I can find where it was at. Jeremiah chapter 29, the passage where it talks about His thoughts being higher than our thoughts. The New International Version says it this way, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." The Amplified uses that word that's used here in the NIV, as well as the word thoughts in the King James, and they combine them together and they say the thoughts and the plans for your welfare, peace, and hope. My thoughts and my plans. Now, isn't that an additional thought that comes from the mind of God for you and for me? That God has many precious thoughts for us. You might never have thought about it that way, but when God thinks, His mind is on us. Stand with me, please.